to some of the biochemistry that you looked at. So, could you talk about what you saw in terms of mTOR activation? And kind of a question in there, is mTOR required for muscle building for MPS?
Yeah, so mTOR is a little bit, well, not a little bit, it's just considered as like the main energy sensing regulator of the body, together with AMPK, which is like its negative counterpart, where mTOR, when it's activated, the body has enough energy, enough amino acids, and just kind of knows, okay, we can stimulate anabolism because everything we need is available. And then AMPK is, oh, there's an energy deficient. Let's not invest in anabolism and maybe start catabolism a little bit, so we restore our energy deficit. So what stimulates mTOR? Well, it's the exact same thing as muscle protein synthesis. So it's protein, and then especially that amino acid leucine seems to be the most potent trigger for mTOR and exercise. And then, why does exercise trigger mTOR? It seems to be the case that exercise just triggers a cascade into muscle tissue. This is relatively new developments, but it just brings the mTOR closer to the leucine in the cell. There's just some rearrangements in the cell, but ultimately it all comes down to the leucine. So either you get the leucine from your nutrition, or exercise just better ties the mTOR to the leucine. Do you need mTOR to stimulate muscle protein synthesis? It seems so, in the sense that you can have pharmaceutical inhibitors of mTOR, and that seems to inhibit muscle adaptations. It's a little bit more complex than that because you have different mTORs. You have mTOR1, you have mTOR2. And again, in humans, it's very difficult to do that type of research because you're not going to give pharmaceuticals that just inhibit normal functions, because mTOR, in our field, we think of it, oh yeah, it's important for anabolism, but it does so much more. So it's not easy to convince an ethical committee, let's try to inhibit this. So a lot of it is always based on animal work, which just makes it slightly more challenging to make interpretations for humans. But I would say yes, mTOR seems to be important to trigger anabolism, but I think of it mostly as a trigger. So I think of it as a traffic light. If the traffic light is on green, I'm going to drive, and it's like after 5 seconds, I'm past the traffic light, and I don't care what happens to the traffic light. Like, the traffic light can go back on red, but I'm still driving, right? I'm past the traffic light. So it seems a little bit that mTOR needs to be activated. That gives a signal to, for example, your ribosomes, okay, you guys, please start working. But once they're working, they're not going to stop. They don't care what the traffic light says anymore. So you can have mTOR going on, being stimulated, and then being turned off again, while muscle protein synthesis still keeps going for a long time. So that's, for example, what we saw in my study. We saw that with 100 grams of protein, muscle protein synthesis was elevated for the entire 12 hours. But mTOR, at you can only, like in muscle tissue, you need a biopsy to measure it. Again, that's what makes human tissue so of human research so challenging. So you cannot measure it every minute in a 12-hour period to have like the perfect time frame. So we measured it before the protein ingestion, after 4 hours, after 8 hours, and after 12 hours. And already after 4 hours, so the first time point after protein, it seemed that mTOR was just at the same level as before protein ingestion. So I, together with a lot of literature, it's almost certain that mTOR was stimulated somewhere in those first 4 hours, but was already back off again at the 4 hour period, and then just stayed off. So it's likely small stimulation, and then it's off again. So again, think of it as a traffic light. At some point, it needs to go on to allow the anabolic response to happen. But once that process is going, once the cars are driving, no one cares what happens to the traffic light anymore.
Interesting. But because, inhibiting mTOR is one of the things that we want to do in longevity because it seems to increase lifespan. But okay, so then something like it would require something active like AMPK to come along and say, okay, stop, for the building to stop. Would that
So yes, if AMPK would be get activated all in a sudden, that would be like a new signal. So like you need a new traffic light in front of you to give you a new signal to change, or in practice, once you just ran out of substrate. So in this case, if you run out of amino acids, obviously the process also stops. But yeah, it doesn't seem like a change in the old signal doesn't really stop the process that's going on. But if you would have a new signal, if you would, I don't know, inject a lot of cortisol, for example, that would be like a new signal, and that would probably start interrupting things.
Interesting,
But
yeah.
maybe one important thing to note. So you mentioned like for longevity, there's some indication that maybe you want to inhibit mTOR. What I think is interesting from this paper is that it shows that mTOR and anabolism are not necessarily tied that strongly together. Because what we see in our study is essentially no activation of mTOR, probably only very briefly just after ingestion of protein, but anabolism stays high. So theoretically, it's possible that you kind of have best of both worlds, that you only have a brief stimulation of mTOR, but you still have anabolism. Because obviously, anabolism is a good thing. You want to have sufficient lean mass to delay sarcopenia. But if you can do that in a way without having continuous elevation of mTOR, it's kind of best of both worlds. So what would be interesting to see is if in this study, instead of one meal of 100, well, I would still give one meal of 100 grams of protein or four meals of 25 grams of protein distributed over that 12-hour period. Potentially, it could be that those four meals would four times give a brief elevation of mTOR for, in total, four times the total elevation of mTOR compared to one big meal, but that there's no difference in muscle protein synthesis. So that potentially could be an argument why one big meal is better than four small meals if we just look at mTOR activation.
Yes, that is really interesting. One other thing, you looked at the autophagy proteins to see whether they were active or not. And so they seemed, well, actually, tell me. So were they active? And did
So,
you, yeah.
yeah, so again, it seemed like they were not active, but just to place in perspective, so we had three treatments: 0 grams of protein, 25 grams of protein, and 100 grams of protein. And all of them did the same exercise. So we did not have a control group who did no exercise, but I can almost guarantee that if we had a control group who did no exercise, all three groups would have much higher autophagy because of the exercise, because that's clearly a strong stimulus. But between the three protein groups, there was no differences between them, which again seems surprising. But again, I think the same thing happens there as with the mTOR. I think that because there's just quite a bit of literature that suggests that protein can inhibit autophagy. So I think that is just a very short-lived effect for shorter than 4 hours, but that was our first post-meal biopsy. So anything that happens between 0 and 4 hours, we missed. So I think, yes, protein will inhibit autophagy, but it's just a very brief effect. So if I just zoom out a little bit, if I look at my study, it seems that with large meals, the physiology itself, so protein metabolism, is impacted for many, many more, many hours. while more the biochemistry is impacted quite briefly. That's just my best guess based on the results of this study. Another thing I need to stress is all those measurements of biochemistry, at least, so all the signaling molecules, mTOR, autophagy, we measured all of that in muscle tissue, and muscle tissue doesn't necessarily reflect what's going on in other tissues. So muscle is quite unique, as in it's the one that's by far the most sensitive to exercise. If you do exercise, that doesn't necessarily impact your liver protein synthesis. So I can imagine that just because we see certain patterns in muscle tissue doesn't necessarily mean that mTOR or autophagy in other tissues have the exact same relationship. We're talking about the autophagy and what happened with it in the study. And the short version is it seems that protein has a very brief inhibitory effect on it, which is interesting because, again, the impact of protein on metabolism, for example, protein synthesis, seemed very long-lasting, even longer than 12 hours. Like, that was the main finding of this study. While the impact of protein on any of the, let's call it biochemistry, the signaling molecules, stuff like that, seemed to be very short-living. So basically a discrepancy in the time response of metabolism versus more the underlying signaling network. Right.